Either have your Bible, turn me to the book of Hebrews, and we're going to start reading the 9th chapter. And we're going to start with the 6th verse. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second, where the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Spirit, this signifies that the way into the holiest of all was not yet manifest, whereas the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us all. And as we are approaching the Day of Atonement, we're going to use as a topic on today, life for life. Life for life. We're in what we call the 7th month on the Jewish calendar, and last week we talked about the Feast of Trumpets, which in the 7th month is the first feast. And then we come to two more feasts in this 7th month, and the other two feasts are the Day of Atonement and also the Feast of Tabernacle. Within these 15 days, have these three feasts celebrated: Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, which is the 10th day of the month, Feast of Trumpets being the first day of the month, the Day of Atonement being the 10th day of the month, of the 7th month for the nation of Israel, and also Feast of Tabernacle being the 15th day of the month, being when it starts. Now, each one of these days, as I said before, they have significance, they have importance. We need to understand why these days are given and what's the purpose and the point of them. Now, the reason why I read here the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, because this 9th chapter has to do with the function of the high priest going into the holies of holies. There was only once a year that the high priest went into the holies of holies. And the time the high priest went into the holies of holies was on the Day of Atonement. For those who watch your calendars, come this Friday, the Day of Atonement. Come this Friday. So, for those of you looking at your calendars, this is the time that God has set aside. Remember we said in Leviticus 23, you go to Leviticus 23 chapter, verse number 27, it starts there talking about the Day of Atonement. It should be a day where, as a Sabbath, you should do any work. It should be a time of fasting and praying, a time of afflicting yourselves. For this is the time where the people atone, or they go to have their sins atoned for. We saw in the book of Exodus 32, that when Moses went up on the mountain to get the commandments from God, and as Moses went up on the mountain to get the commandments from God, the Bible lets us know that the people, they began to grow weary because Moses was in the mountain for so long. And they began to take gold, and they told Aaron, "Aaron, make us a god." And Aaron took the gold from the people, and he made them a god. And after Aaron made a god for the people, he said the god came out of the fire, Moses came back down from the mountain. And when Moses came from the mountain, Moses was grieving, he was hurt, because he said the same God that brought us through the Red Sea, the same God that watched over us and kept us and fed us, now you're telling me that you people have transgressed God and you have begun worshiping false gods and idol gods. And Moses was upset and bothered. Moses said, those that are on the Lord's side, come on my side. Those that are not, stand on the other side. Because I have got to make an atonement for the sins of the people. They said that one day 3,000 of them died. They took the sword, they killed man, his spouse, children, anybody that was not on the Lord's side, they will kill 3,000 souls were killed on that day. And the only way that the bloodshed could be stopped is that Moses had to make an atonement for the people. Or Moses had to give a sacrifice for the people. Now, what is the atonement and what is the sacrifice? Well, the Bible lets us know, starting in the book of Genesis, that any time that there is a life taken, there must be another life given. Amen. That's what God says. Anytime you shed blood, blood must be shed. Life for life. We see the first instance of a sacrifice in the book of Genesis. The Bible lets us know that Cain slew his brother Abel. But what did God do? Did God slay Cain? No, God did not. What the Bible said God did, God took the sacrifice that Cain had put out there, and God used that to mark Cain and say, anybody touch Cain, he said that I am going to handle them, because Cain had slain his brother. But we saw even before Cain slew Abel, you found the same thing with Adam and Eve. Eve had transgressed the laws of God. And when they transgressed the law of God, they ate of the tree of forbidden fruit that they were not supposed to eat from. The Bible said that God saw that they were naked. And God took some animal skins and clothing. What did God do? God said that I've got to let blood be shed to cover your sins. So God had an animal kill to give them skins to cover their nakedness. So see, from the very beginning in the Bible, God shows that any time that there is a sin, any time there is transgression against the laws of God, any time there is bloodshed, there has to be an answer with blood. Amen. There has to be an answer with blood. So we find that's what the atonement was about. That is what Moses did. The people said, Moses said, all right, I got to offer an atonement. Moses killed some animals. Offered the atonement for the sins of the people. Now, have you heard the term scapegoat? It means that you try to put somebody else fault on something else. Well, I'm going to make you the scapegoat. I did, but I'm going to make you the scapegoat. I'm going to say you did it. Well, what the nation of Israel did, they would have this goat, they would bring it to the camp, and they would take, and the high priest would lay his hands on the goat. And then they would release the goat to go outside of the camp. And what it would do, they said, it was symbolic of that goat carrying the sins of the people away. The scapegoat. But they also offered up bullocks and rams to atone for the sins of the people. As I said, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But it's on this Day of Atonement that was a key day for the nation of Israel. It was a time when they began to realize, okay, now we've messed up. Now, the thing about a lot of you say, well, you know what? I'm a pretty good person. I'm all right. I don't rob. I haven't killed anybody. I don't fornicate. I don't commit adultery. I'm a pretty good person. I mean, if you go to the book of Galatians, you know, 6, where it lists those different sins, Galatians 5, I mean, where it lists those different sins, and you see those sins, and say, I'm doing those things. I'm not doing any of those things. But the Bible in Romans 3:23 says this, all have sinned. Now, remember what I said. When Adam and Eve transgressed the laws of God, there had to be a sacrifice made. That's where those animal skins came from, to cover their sins. God is saying the very same thing to us. All have sinned, and because you have sinned, that means there has to be blood shed. There has to be a life given for the sin you've done, you've committed. Well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm all right. There's nothing so wrong with my life that I've done so bad, I've messed so badly up. No, well, the Bible still holds you guilty before God, because God is a holy God. So, have you ever thought a bad thought about somebody? That's a sin. Have you ever lusted after somebody who was not your wife or husband? That's a sin. Have you ever talked back to mom or dad or disrespected mom or dad? That's a sin. Have you ever told a lie? That's a sin. Have you ever used the name of God in vain? That's a sin. Now, if you look at the Old Testament scripture, those things I just listed off were worthy of death. All those things you could die for. God said you could die for. Children on mom and dad, stone them to death. I know the children love to hear me say that. Stone them to death if they don't honor mom and dad. If you out there, you're not married and you're caught having sexual relationships with somebody, stone them to death. Don't bring that kind of stuff up in here. You don't honor God. As the Bible said, you go back and read Leviticus 23, it said that on the Day of Atonement, if you out there eating and not honoring that day, the Bible said, stone them to kill them. Don't let them folks suffer to live. Well, I don't want to observe the Day of Atonement this year. He said, kill them if they don't want to do that. You find God was a harsh God. God does not play. God took vengeance if you did not keep his word. God wants us to know that his word was a righteous word. His word is a holy word. And God say, I don't play. A lot of us think, well, you know what, God? I'm going to go up there, I'm just going to do what I want to do. And I go before you and you're just going to be all right with me, God. Because you my friend, you my buddy. God said, oh, I don't play. God told Moses. Moses, the Bible said, was a humble man. Moses was a man that loved God. God told Moses, Moses, you need to circumcise your son. Moses delayed circumcising his son. The Bible said that God in the way sought to slay Moses because Moses didn't keep his word. Moses didn't do that. Moses, a man after God, a man who loved God. God was going to slay Moses. Moses, I told you to circumcise your son. They haven't been circumcised yet. So Moses went to his wife, Zipporah, and said, Zipporah, circumcise them children. Because God's going to take care of me if you don't. And Moses and Zipporah got upset because the children, they were not little babies there. They were big grown children. And they had to circumcise. She said, oh, you are a bloody man, Moses. Help me to circumcise these boys. But Moses said, either you circumcise them or I die. So what you want to have? So what I'm saying, God was a God that was stern. If God said something, God meant it. And the Bible said that if you've ever sinned, it's like you've done that sin for your whole life. You couldn't get rid of that sin. So when you sin, when you were 3 years old, your mom told you to keep your hands out of the cookie jar. You went there 3 years old and took the cookie anyway. God said, oh, you know what? I got that recorded. You sin. Or you were in the first grade. The teacher told you not to cheat. You looked at cheating on somebody's paper anyway. In the first grade, God said, you know what? You disobeyed your teacher. I recorded that. All those things you did. Mom told you to be home before I got dog. You decide, I'm not going home before I get dog. I'm going to stay here and play with my friend because I like playing with my friend. I'm not going to listen to mom and dad. You were 8 years old. God recorded that. All those things you did that were wrong in your life, God has a record of it. And God said, because you have sinned, the Bible says, no sin shall inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care. You know, like we say, well, just a little white lie. There's no such thing as a white lie before God. A lie is a lie is a lie. And the Bible says, a liar shall not tarry in his sight. So all of the lies you told, all them young ladies you were talking about, you know I love you. You're the only one for me, baby. And soon you left her, you told the next one the same lie. A liar shall not inherit the kingdom of God, shall not tarry in God's sight. So all those lies you've told, all those folks you've taken advantage of, all those people you have hurt, all that unforgiveness you've had in your heart towards someone, all that bitterness you have towards someone, God said, I am recording all those things. The Bible said that when God went and chose and picked out David, and Samuel said that how shall I know God told Samuel? Say, Samuel, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. You can't fool God. You can come in here and look good and smell good and say the right things and praise God, hallelujah. But God sees your heart. God knows what's in your mind. God God knows what you're thinking right now. I know a lot of you say, God, get out of my mind. Get out of my mind, God. Because I want you to know that, God. But God said, I know what you're thinking. I know what's going on inside your head. God said, you can't hide it from me. And the stuff that we're saying, some of this stuff, if our minds could speak out, man, we'd be being stoned to death right now in the church. But God said, I know you. I know what's in you. I know what's about you. And the Bible said that all those things that you have done are worthy of death. And they're contrary to my word. So for one, I'm a pretty good person. How long you been pretty good? This last minute? How long you been pretty good? I think I'm all right. Oh, can you remember back when you were a little child? You did some things you weren't supposed to do. Can you remember back when you first got that job? You figured that only you get that job, you had to tell a lie. I'm going to tell them I got more education than what I got, more experience than what I really have, just so I can sound impressive in order to get that job. Can you remember those things when God said, that was a lie? God said, I'm not going to have a liar in front of me. All those things we've done, folks we've taken advantage of, folks who we've hurt, broken their heart. I told my son this right here. For my son, because you know when you was young, they think that they are a man of the world. I told my son this. I said, if you break any woman's heart where she can't finish school and she gives it up because she's so heartbroken, I said, I'm coming after you because you know what you're doing. And the same thing I'm saying, some of us we've hurt folks, we've broken them. And we think we can just move on about our business and, oh, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm all right, everything's okay. God say, I'm holding you accountable for that.
Amen.
Now, you know what? A lot of folks say, well, that's why I don't go to church. Because I'm constantly being reminded of how I messed up. I'm constantly being reminded of all the bad things I've done in life. Yes, I messed up. Yes, I've been wrong. But let me tell you this right here. You're not in that boat by yourself. The Bible said all have sinned. Yours may not be as prominent or evident as others, but all of us have sinned. And the Bible said no sin is going into God's kingdom. The Bible said this here also too. No, we said we list the Ten Commandments. Honor the ones related to mankind. Thou shalt and related to God as well. Thou shalt know God before me. Thou shalt not make any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, wife, or anything that is thy neighbor. We go through all those commandments. And you know what? The rich young ruler came to Jesus, our Lord, and said, you know what? I kept all the commandments from my childhood up. And that's what a lot of us say. Well, you know what? I haven't broken any commandments. Or if I did, I just did one. The Bible said if you break one, as though you've broken all of them. The Bible said Jesus tried to show the rich young ruler came to him. He said, all right, since you think you're so good then, he said, go take all your riches and sell them and pick up the cross and follow me. The Bible said the rich young ruler could not do it. Now, what was Christ trying to show the rich young ruler? The Bible says this right here. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If God has told you to do something and you didn't do it, then guess what? You are in rebellion. And the Bible says rebellion is as witchcraft. And witches are not going to heaven. I don't care what you call that psychic line. They told you, you're going to get a good wife or a good man. I don't care what they told you. Witches are not going to heaven.
Amen.
But what God is trying to show us is that if you break one of the laws, any of them, then you are guilty of all of them. Because the law is one whole unit. It's not a unit you can break all the little bits and pieces. Well, you know, I kept 9 of them, but the 10th, I don't know about that one. I pushed the 10th to the side. You know, I love my wife, but I can't honor my mom and dad. Wait a minute, you just broke one. Well, you know what, I stole something, but I love my mom and my dad, and I honor my, and I keep take care of my children. Well, wait a minute, you can't steal. Well, you know what, I didn't steal anything, but my wife, the lady next door to me, she looks pretty good. She married too. If you break one, it's as though you've broken all of them. You're guilty before a living God. So folks said, now Pastor, you just beat me if I know there's one lady on my job. She said that you want those preachers that beat them up. You tell them you're going to hell, you're gonna bust hell wide open, you don't live a godly life, and God's gonna come and strike you down and visit you. Then just before you get ready to close out, you say, now, come to Jesus, your Savior. And that's not the point I'm trying to make. But what I want us to see is that we are in need of a God to save us. Because the Bible says we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Mm-hmm. It's our innate nature to do what is wrong. As I said before, you never have to go home and tell Kayla to do something wrong. Kayla said, Mom, I know how to do that all by myself. You never tell Josiah, don't clean up the house. Josiah said, I'm good. Mom, I got that one. I can take care of that one. You never have to tell them how to do wrong. It's something born within us. That's the nature of Adam that we all have. That's why we come to church, so we can learn to suppress Adam's nature so that the nature of God can live in us. Yes, it's natural for us to look and wonder, oh man, that girl look good on Mary. It's natural for us to want what somebody else got. It's natural for us to want to cut somebody out when they've offended us. It's a natural thing to do. That's why the Bible says you must be born again. That old nature has to die that that new nature can live. It's natural for you to do those things. But thanks be to God. God said there's a better way. There's a better way. This whole chapter right here in the book of Hebrews, 9th chapter, is having to do with the Day of Atonement. Has to do with the sacrifice that was made. We want to look at some verses here in this chapter to make this point crystal clear for us. All right, the third verse of this 9th chapter in the book of Hebrews. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, they say that the temple, the way that it was set up with the tabernacle, was set up in pretty much three places. You had the holiest where the priest went. You had the place for the minion. They had the place in the outer court for the women. You had the place for the outer court for the Gentiles. But in the holiest of the holiest, the only person who went in there was the high priest once a year. And this is what it says here, and it's behind the second veil. The tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. This is where they had the mercy seat. This is where they had the cherubims who had their wings stretched over the mercy seat. And that mercy seat, they say that another name for it is the seat of atonement. It's where you went to once a year to atone for the sins of the people. And inside the mercy seat, they had the tabernacle. And they had the rod of Moses that budded. These things were a remembrance or reminder to the nation of Israel of their covenant relationship with God. And because God had a covenant relationship with them, they should not break the laws of God, but they should keep God's law. So this is what, so God had prepared something for them, and this was in the holiest, which is what they called it. In the 6th verse. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Now the first tabernacle was the place where the priests went. All the priests went. Where they would keep the fires, burn on the altar, offer sacrifices unto God. These were the priests. Which was from the line of Levi. That's what their role was. They keep offering a sacrifice to God because they knew, okay, God, we're showing you our love for you. We're showing our devotion to you. For those who may have sinned or committed some type of sin, we do these things, Lord God, to you. But all the priests were there. But then look at the 8th verse, 7th verse. But into the second went the high priest alone. Now the Bible said that Christ Jesus, we're going to see, is our high priest. When Christ Jesus came, this is why I say it's important for us to understand the Old Testament scriptures. For the Old Testament scriptures point to what Christ did. How many of you, when reading Hebrews 9th chapter, saw this as being the Day of Atonement? That's what this is talking about. The high priest going to the holiest of holies. When did I say that he went to the holiest of holies? Once a year. And what was that time once a year he went? It was the Day of Atonement. What is the Day of Atonement this year? Come Friday. It's the Day of Atonement. This is the time that Hebrews 9th chapter is talking about. The Day of Atonement. When the high priest went there to set aside the sins of the people. The Bible said that Jesus is our high priest. But the second one, the high priest alone, once every year, the Day of Atonement. That's that once, the Day of Atonement. Not without blood, which which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. When the high priest went in there, he went with blood. Remember I said life for life? If I'm going to cover the sins of the people, the only way that they can be spared is somebody's life. Somebody got to give their life. God said, and I don't play. If you come up against me, God said, something's got to die. Something has got to die. So what the priest would do, they'll offer up blood sacrifices, such as lambs and goats and bullocks and animals like that. And that would cover the sins of the people. Not only for the people, but also for the priest too. But it was done every year. Eighth verse. The Holy Spirit is signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Why did it say that? What is trying to tell this right here? That was only a type to show us of what was to come. It was only to show us what could be done. But it was a reminder. This is what I'm saying. Like I said once again, when we take Holy Communion, we take communion to help us to remember that the same Jesus that died and got out of the grave on the first day of the week, that same Jesus coming back again. We do it as a reminder.
Yes.
As I said before, one time we had the children learning all the books of the Bible and the Ten Commandments. I know one time I had them stand up and say the Ten Commandments in the Bible, they start stuttering. If you don't keep a remembrance or reminder of it, you will forget it. This is why God said to keep these things before you. This is why we keep the atonement. This is why we remember these things. Because, you know, the more we remember, this is why we keep Passover or communion, as we call it in church today. Because we realize that the more we keep it before us, the more it is a reminder of what God said is going to happen and come to pass. And a lot of us, atonement, I'm not Jewish. You want your sins covered, don't you?
Amen.
You better become Jewish somewhere. Which was a figure for the time then present, which was offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. What is it saying? Okay. You stole, you lied, you cheated on somebody, you did something that was wrong. You went, you took the goats, the bullocks for the priest to offer the sacrifice. But you know what? Even though they put that bullock or that goat on their altar, your conscience, you know what conscience means? It's two words. Conscience means with knowledge. That's what it means. You still had knowledge that you did a bad deed. No matter how bad you've done it. You know, I talked to one guy. He was locked up in jail. He and his friend, they was playing around over some drugs, end up killing the guy. And I went and I was talking to the guy in jail and trying to offer him, show him that how he could be forgiven. And he was saying, I can't forgive myself for what I did. He had conscience of it, of the bad deeds that he's done. And that's what it was a reminder to them. Every time they went to offer a sacrifice, it couldn't take away the guilt. It couldn't take away the stain. Every time they did, it was a reminder to them that I'm a sinner. It was a reminder to them that I have messed up. It couldn't take away their sin because of the conscience that was involved. And this person, he could never forgive himself, got out of jail and become a drunkard because of the guilt that was weighing so heavily on him. And that's what a lot of us are. We're carrying sins from our past. Things we did, as I said, I know I brought some bad memories for some of you because some of you realize that in days gone by that you were something else. I was too.
Right.
And for some of you brought such bad memories, you say, well, why did I do that? Why did I go there? Why did I say that? And for a lot of us, it brings such pain and hurt when you remember it. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. That no matter what I may have done in my past, no matter who I may have hurt, no matter what things may have been wrong in my life, in Jesus, there is a new life. Let's go on down to the 11th verse. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, Christ came. That thing that you couldn't forgive yourself for, that thing that you did over and over again, that thing that you had a constant reminder of, oh, why did
I do that? I'm sorry I did that. Why'd I do that thing? That thing that every time you look at yourself, it is a reminder of where you sinned, where you messed up, where you may have hurt somebody. Those things the Bible said Jesus came. Jesus said, wait a minute. You know what? Those bulls and those goats, they only work for once a year. You came back and all they did was remind you you're still a sinner. But Jesus said, when I come into your life, when you confess your sins to me, when you acknowledge that I am the true high priest, when you come to me, I can, as the Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them white as snow. Who wouldn't come to a God like that? With all the hurt, with all the bad things we've done in life, we have someone who can wipe the slate clean. Say, no longer are you held captive to your past, but now you can move forward in freedom and deliverance. That's what the Day of Atonement is all about. That's what Jesus did when he went to the Holy of Holies in heaven. When Mary saw him, she said, Rabboni, and Jesus said, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. The blood that was on Jesus. Remember what I said? Life for life. There had to be blood. The blood that was on Jesus. When he was shed his blood on Calvary's cross. The blood that was on Jesus. With the nails in his hand and the nails in his feet. The blood that was on Jesus. That's what he took to the holies of holies in the heaven and laid it on the altar. And when he put that blood on the altar, that cleansed all of us from our sins. I don't care what sins you may have committed. I don't care what thing you may have done. I don't care what a bad person others may say you are. I don't care what others may think about you. In Christ Jesus, you are a new creature. And because you're a new creature, yes, I may have stolen this money from you. Yes, I may have cheated on you. Yes, I may have talked back to mama and daddy. But now in Jesus, I'm a new creature. In Jesus, because Jesus went to the cross with his own life he gave so that we could have life. So that we could have life. But Christ being come out high priest of good things to come. That's what I'm saying. I go to the prison, I talk to the guys in prison, guys who committed murder, people who have killed somebody, and I can still go there. I don't care what the judge may say about you. I don't care what folks may say about you. I'm telling you what Jesus says about you. He said that if you will confess your sin, if you would acknowledge, yes, I've messed up, I've done wrong. He said he's faithful and just to forgive you. That's the great high priest. That's Jesus our Lord. The Day of Atonement is a representation or remembrance of Jesus wiping our sins away. See, the devil told me we should be rejoicing. We should be shouting. Because, yeah, God, I knew I messed up. Yes, God, I know I've done something that was wrong. But God, you went. You took your blood. You laid it on the altar. Not some defective blood. Not some bad blood. But the blood of a pure lamb without blemish. The blood of a pure lamb without spot. That's what was laid on the altar for me. And because your blood, your blood that cleanses me, your blood that sets me free, your blood that lets me know I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. No longer held down by my past. No longer held down by what others say about me. See, that's why I can go where I go and do what I do. Because I'm not worried about what folks say about me. My concern is, God, am I doing what's pleasing to you? Lord, am I pleasing you? Yes, they're going to remember my past. Yes, they're going to remember that Sylvester. He used to have a fiery temper. He used to get upset and drop a hat. Yes, they're going to remember some of the things I used to do. But God, in you, I'm a new creature. I don't care about what they say. Yes, all I do, use as a testimony. Yes, that's what I used to do. Yes, that's what I used to go. Yes, that's what I used to drink. Yes, that's what I used to smoke. But look at me now. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Look at me now. And so now the more you talk, the more you build my testimony. The more you talk, the more you see in me that Christ is the God I serve. It's the God I serve. The more you see, you talk about me, the more you see the Christ in me. So talk and talk some more. Because the more you talk, the more Christ stands up. Because you can say, well, say, you know what? I don't see it. No one ain't told me on my job, Sylvester, you don't ever get upset. Nothing bothers you, do you? So you just don't know. the God I serve made the change in my life. Let's go down a little bit further. 14th verse. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Stop thinking you are good enough. Stop thinking that your works are going to save you. Your works cannot save you. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says this: for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. That's the man should boast. You can't work your way into heaven. The only way you get into heaven is by offering up your life to Jesus and accepting the blood that he shed for your sin. That's the only way you make it in. And that's what God said. And the good thing about it, see, it's not just about the afterlife, but it's life right here on earth. You know, folks committing suicide, taking their lives, because there's something in life that has hurt them, something in life they can't get along with, something in life that bothers them. And the thing I want you to know is this right here, that in Christ Jesus, he offers you a new life. Yes.
Yes.
A new life. The blood of Christ who through the eternal Spirit. You know what? It's like I said, it's the life that keeps on giving. That's what Christ Jesus is. It's not just for a day or for a year or for 2 years. He said eternal. How long is eternity? Forever.
Yeah.
That's what the blood of Jesus does. So we're going to have to go back and continue revisiting our sins. Well, yeah, I did this last year. And 5 years later, I'm still revisiting that same thing. I've talked to so many people who've been through bad relationships. And years down the road, they still remember that bad relationship. 10 years down the road, they still remember. Get over it. And understand that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Stop holding to that garbage in the past. And understand that Christ has given you liberty. He has set you free.
That's right.
Folks still hold to the thing. You did it. We all did something. Now it's time to move forward. Why? Because Christ has released me. Christ has set me free. 22nd verse. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding the blood is no remission. Jesus shed his blood. Folks said, oh, that was so bad. He's on the cross. They pierced him in the side, pierced him in his hand, pierced him in his feet, a crown of thorns on his head. And he said, all that blood that was shed. And they said, oh, it's so sad. But the Bible says right here, without shedding the blood, no remission. If Christ had not done that, we yet still be in our sins. But thanks be to God.
Amen.
Then he looked down and saw Sylvester and he said, you know what? That boy is going to do some things wrong. He's going to mess up in life. And I need a way to show him that he can get out of that. And he said, the only way that's going to make my father happy is that instead of my father taking his life, I let him take my life.
Jesus.
Instead of taking his life, he deserves to die. He should die. He's broken the commandments. He's gone against God. He deserves death. But God said, the only way, son, the only way that I won't kill Sylvester is that somebody else stand in his stead. And the prophet in his stead got to be pure, got to be holy. They can't be defiled. And Jesus said, Father, Father, I'm the only one that can do it for you. Everybody else is defiled. Everybody else is messed up. But Father, I will die for Sylvester. I will give my life for Sylvester. I will sacrifice for Sylvester. Don't kill him. Don't let him die. Don't kill him, Father. I will give my life for him. And the Father said, son, if you're willing to do it, if you're willing to give your life, I will spare Sylvester's life. And Jesus said, I'll do it. That That's why when Jesus came down and they beat him, they smacked him, they spit on him, he didn't say a word back. He didn't cuss them out, because he said, I'm doing this for Sylvester. Sylvester, I'm being beat for you. Sylvester, the nails in my hands are for you. Sylvester, the piercing in my side by the spear is for you. Sylvester, them whipping and beating me all night long is for you. Because Sylvester, I don't want you to die. I don't want you to die. I don't want you to die, Sylvester. I want you to live. I want you to live. I want you to live. And so Jesus said, Father, I'll do it. My blood I put on the altar. My blood I give. My blood so that he can live. Jesus went to the altar in the holies of holies in heaven and took his blood and placed it on the altar. And he said, Father, is that good enough? And the Father looked and he saw that it was the blood of his Son, his only begotten Son. He knew his Son. For he said, Son knew no sin. His Son hadn't cussed anybody out. His Son hadn't stolen or fornicated or left after somebody else's wife. His Son was righteous and his Son was holy. When he saw the blood of his Son, he said, Son, because of what you did, the slate is white clean. It's clean because it's your blood. I know you. Damn, I don't. But I know you. I know you. And because he saw the blood of his Son, Jesus said, Sylvester, all the bad stuff you've done, all the times you've messed up, all the times you've lied and thought bad thoughts, he said, Sylvester, it's clean. It's white clean, Sylvester.
Thank you, God.
28th verse. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Christ. Jesus our Lord. The Day of Atonement. Life for life. Christ gave his life so that I can have life. Christ gave his life so that you can have life. And don't fool yourself. Don't tell yourself, I'm pretty good. Because mama don't see you. Because daddy don't see you. Don't tell yourself, I'm pretty good. Because the spouse don't see you. Don't tell yourself, I'm pretty good. Because the boss on the job doesn't see you. Don't tell yourself, I'm pretty good. See, I don't know anybody's heart, but one thing I do know the word of God. And the Bible says we all have sinned. We all have something in our life who we need to go to God for. We all have something in our life we need to say, Lord, help me, Lord. Lord, I'm hurting. Lord, I'm broke. God, they don't know. They don't understand. But God, you know what I'm wrestling with. You know what's on the inside of me. And God, only you can set me free. It was the blood of Jesus.
Yes, God. Thank you, God.
The blood of Jesus. It sets free.
Oh, thank you.
Life. For life. Jesus gave his life so that you can have life.
Amen.
Now I tell you this here. You'd be a foolish person. Foolish person to have the opportunity to be free from something you know that you did and you turn your back on it. Be a foolish person. God is saying to you, I don't care what you've done in life.
I don't care how bad you may have messed up, who you may have hurt, taken advantage of. He said that if you simply come to Jesus. See, one thing about coming to Jesus, it's a thing of repentance. You say, God, I messed up and I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. The Bible said we are faithful and just to confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. If you simply come to him. That's what the devil told me it's all about. Anytime we're talking about the devil told me, we should get excited. Because the devil told me is a representation of Jesus going to the holiest of holies to offer his life so that we can have life. Another chance.